telescope with numb fingers. And she's alone. The sun was falling behind them as the Electra turned toward the colonist fires on the beach. She was just as Orin had described. A hefty belly and short command tower, broad and slow. They watched her move slowly into the center of the cove and weigh anchor there. It was too late for them to begin their work of retrieving their conscripts. For that, they would wait until first light, so Caledonia would move even sooner. "See how they take care with the anchor?" Orin spoke into Caledonia's ear, sure to keep his voice low. Caledonia found the anchor with her scope, noting how the bullets on the chain avoided touching the hull at all costs. It was the only evidence of the danger. Not even the water below seemed affected. As Orin promised, the electrical field was designed to stop just above the waterline so as not to charge the water for yards in all directions. "Red, how many bullets do you count?" she asked.
25 topside," Redtooth answered promptly. "Not sure about below decks."
"They cap these crews around 50 or 60," Orin spoke with confidence. "They save as much room as possible for the conscripts." They held their position for another hour, studying the movements of the crew and trying to get a more accurate count. It was safe to assume they outnumbered Caledonia's crew. But if Orin was right, perhaps not by much. It was strange to think that she could be looking at Donnelly or Ares right now, and she'd never know it. More than once she caught herself letting her sights rest on a single bullet with dark hair, searching for the feature that would confirm it was her little brother. She was so close to him, so close to having him back in her life. Part of her wanted to go now, to return to the ship and mount the attack immediately. But that was foolish, and she was not a foolish person. "We have what we need," she said, when the sky was full dark and the bullet ship portholes filled with a cool blue light, while above the orange countdown ticked steadily. "Let's go." Chapter 36. Night felt darker this far north. Maybe it was the cold, the way it slithered through the fibers of coats and pants, or curled around ears and throats. It wasn't the constant pressure of a hot night spent around the bone mouth, but a seeping discomfort that made everything feel endless. But maybe it was simply that the morning was a time of promise and possibility, a time Caledonia had convinced herself would never come. A time when Donnelly and Ares existed in more than just her dreams. Maybe that was why the darkness felt so complete, because the promise of what lay just beyond it was so incredibly bright. The news of the Electra stirred the blood of the ship. Everywhere she looked, she was met with bright eyes, hands ready to fight. She gave the order to rest, but with the fight so near, there would be little of that. Far pushed her kitchen crew to their limits, whipping up as much of a feast as they ever enjoyed. Girls gathered in the galley to eat, and later in the cargo bay to double and triple check their guns, to refill a few more spent cartridges with powder, even if their own clips were full. Some bathed, some slept, some shut their doors and spent their energies on one another. Everyone had their own way of preparing for battle. In the hours just before the sun glazed the cold ocean, Caledonia and Pisces collected cups of black and blue paint and moved through the ship, drawing their individual sigils on the hands and cheeks of every girl, anywhere that would be easy for the brothers to see. Pisces' mark went on easily, but the brushes weren't fine enough to fill only half of Caledonia's blunt-tipped arrow. Every time she tried, she produced a shapeless smear, so she gave up and just drew the outline. There was no way to anticipate how the brothers would react. Caledonia's imagination insisted on presenting her with a tearful, easy reunion. She wanted it, but she was certain nothing about this would be easy, including, and maybe especially, winning their brothers' minds back.
They drew these sigils in the hope that it would distract the brothers from the fight long enough to be subdued without injury. Since they couldn't guarantee it would be one of the two of them to find the boys, every girl needed to bear one of the marks. Surely they would see and remember. Donnelly would. She knew that with unbridled certainty. Caledonia came to Orin last. Days ago, he'd been moved from the hold to a cabin near her own, and she found his door ajar, the room inside dark. Keeping her eyes firmly on the hatch and not beyond it, Caledonia raised a hand and knocked. She heard movement right away, the slow unwinding of limbs from a bed, and then the light was on and Orin stood before her, layering on a second shirt. "Time already?" he asked, his hair stiff with sleep, his eyes pinched with the same. "Nearly." He noticed the cup of paint in her hands and raised a curious eyebrow. "It's for my sigil, to mark you as one of my crew, and as someone they can trust." His eyes traveled to the mark at her temple and back to the paint. Then he stepped aside and led her into the room. They'd given him a room alone, and though the space was just as large as Caledonia's, the number of beds it contained made it feel smaller. Two sets of bunk beds climbed in uneven steps along two walls, their ends overlapping in the corner. The third wall contained a set of four lockers and little else. There was no window in this room, which many of the girls preferred for easy sleeping. Judging by the swipe of the blankets, Orin had chosen the second lowest bunk. He stopped in the middle of the room, as though suddenly unsure of what to do. Caledonia chose a perch at the end of his bed, motioning for him to sit on the lower bunk on the adjoining wall. He followed her lead, resting hands on knees. Over the past days, Orin had been at her side more often than not, but there was something decidedly different about being alone with him now. She stirred the black paint, though it was smooth already, and eased the unexpected tension with a question. "How are your wrists?" "Nearly back to normal." Orin lifted his hands to show the color of his wrists had improved. "How's your head?" She frowned at the memory of her blunder during the storm. "Still not as hard as the deck." Caledonia wasn't sure if he laughed first or if she did, but in the space between her words and their laughter, some final braid of tension unraveled. The boy who'd landed on their ship in the colors of the bullet fleet was now just Orin. "Lean in." Caledonia lifted the brush from its cup, the hairs thick with black paint. Orin did as directed, leaning in and tilting his head toward her. Lightly, she pressed her fingertips beneath his chin and jaw, turning his face so she could work. She started 1 inch beneath the corner of his eye and drew a long line vertically toward his jaw before hooking it toward his ear. Another one followed, this time hooking toward his lips. Then she drew the smiling curve that connected them. "They'll know you're a friend now." "Is that what I am?" His breath ghosted warmly over her palm and wrist. His eyes remained trained on her. Those layers of brown and gray were even more textured up close, the inner rings bursting outward like the arms of a starfish. She tried not to look, but they pulled her back again and again until finally she didn't look away. "Yes," she answered, knowing it was too much of the truth, and also knowing that part of trust was giving people the truth when they asked for it. They were suddenly closer, his chin resting in her palm, her lips so near to his. There was an unfamiliar warmth growing in her chest, an unexamined desire singing in her ears. Every thought in her mind was suddenly centered around his brown eyes, his long nose, his lips. His lips.
his lips. He leaned up, lips brushing hers like the warmest southern wind. He paused there, waiting, the touch of his lips so light against hers it could barely be called touch. She wanted more, and in that moment, she snapped back. The brush lay on the floor in a smear of black paint, and it was only by some small grace that the cup was still upright. Caledonia sat up straight to repress the unwelcome tremor in her body. "Did I overstep?" Oren asked, eyes intent and otherwise unshaken. Retrieving the brush, she drew in a deep breath and gripped his chin, a little tighter this time. "When I want a kiss, I will be the one to take it." Ignoring the smile that slipped across Oren's mouth, she set to work. She drew the next sigil with quicker strokes, a circle intercepted by two vertical lines just off-center. "For the record," Oren said when she was done with her work, expression deadly serious, "that kiss is there for the taking." Caledonia laughed again. There was a new kind of tension between them now, one that drew them closer instead of pushing them apart. It wasn't entirely uncomfortable. "I'll add it to Tin's inventory," she teased. Caledonia knew the time had come to ask the questions she'd held in reserve, the ones that had nothing to do with how they bested the Electra and found their brothers, the ones that had everything to do with what happened after. "You said my brother liked to sing at first." Now that she'd started, she found it was difficult to continue, but she pushed on. "Can you tell me what he's like now? Is he like you? Does he want out?" "Caledonia." Oren leaned back, lips tightening in reluctance. "I told you I don't want to lie to you."
"Then don't," she said quickly, suddenly panicked. "What do you know?"
"I know that it goes hardest for the kids like Donnelly. He's not the same boy you knew from the ghost. He's been out here a long time. And for bullets, survival is violence." Caledonia's mind reeled. What did Oren know? What had he seen of her brother? What had he become in the 4 years since she'd seen him? And then, another question. This one brought her to her feet. "No one knows that name except me and Pi." Surprise widened Oren's eyes. His mouth opened in silence. "You didn't hear it from us, so tell me the truth. How do you know its name?" Caledonia demanded. The small space suddenly felt smaller. Oren rose to his feet, moving toward Caledonia as if to take her hands. She snapped them away. "Oren?" she warned.
Everyone knows the ghost."
"Why?" she demanded. "Be explicit."
"Because," Oren started, "everyone knows Ballistic Donnelly."
Caledonia stepped back. "You said..." She took a breath. "Blood, gunpowder, salt.
You said he was a member of Electra's command."
"He is." Deep regret painted Oren's features. "He's the first in line. Donnelly commands Electra." The world she'd known a moment ago had been wholly changed with those three words. Donnelly commands Electra. She had no bearings, and she wouldn't find them in this increasingly small cabin with the boy who... What had he done? Had he lied? No. It was too confusing to unpack, so she clamped it down. "Find Red," she said, pulling the hatch open behind her and stepping unsteadily through. "She'll make sure you're armed." And then she left.
Chapter 37. Caledonia stood in a circle with her four most trusted girls, her stones. Pisces looked more herself than she had in weeks. with her hair freshly shorn and her arm in good repair. Amina had her head turned up, listening to everything the winds had to share. Hime had removed her apron and bore holsters on her hips, and her silky hair was woven in a tight braid down her back. Red Tooth had a fresh smear of red clay across her mouth and looked hungry for the fight. In the center of the circle, Caledonia dropped a bit of the bedraggled lace she'd worn since Lace's funeral. The night was thick around them, the wind cutting. But they stood strong on the nose of the command deck as they reviewed their strategy. Amina's electromag would provide a pulse capable of interrupting the electrified hull, but no one knew for how long. They had one shot. If the Electra got its hull charged again before they made contact, the game was up. It was this need for swiftness that brought them to it. They would storm the Electra, and when they were close to impact, they would fire the electromag, disabling her hull before they rammed her. "Hime," Caledonia began, speaking with her hands and her voice. "There's still time to go below. I won't deny you this fight, but we will certainly need you after." "I understand," Hime said, shaking her head as she spoke. "But my place is with you." Caledonia swallowed her protests. Much as she would prefer to have the girl below, she knew this was an important moment for both of them. She turned to Amina. "How are the winds today?" "Conflicted," she answered with her eyes on the dimming stars above. "But in our favor."
"That sounds better than usual. Red, how are your boarding parties?"
"Steely," Red Tooth answered quickly, "ready to jump as soon as we hit her." "Pi?" Caledonia asked, and Pisces reached for her hand, squeezing tightly when she said, "Let's go get our brothers." Caledonia ignored the flash of fear in her chest, pressed it down, 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 and covered it with the memory of Donnelly's clever smile, the slippery feel of his dark curls, the sound of his voice saying, "Hoist your eyes." And now that same sweet boy was not simply aboard the Electra, but in command of it. She couldn't bring herself to say it aloud to Pisces. A Donnelly in charge of a bullet ship was not a Donnelly she could conjure in her mind. But if she saw her own horror reflected in Pisces' face, that would change. And maybe it didn't matter. He would still be among the command crew, and if he was in fact the ballistic of that ship, she'd know exactly where to find him. She would get to him first. They walked together to stand on the small deck behind the bridge, where they could be seen by the entire crew gathered on the main deck below. They were armed and ready. Among them, Caledonia found Nettle, her young face braced for the fight ahead, her bright ribbons ornamenting her dark hair. There was Tin, standing in the firm clutch of her sisters, each one more steely than the last. And there was Orin. He'd abandoned his burnished red coat in favor of the closer fit of his long-sleeved shirt. Over it, he wore double holsters lined with guns and a short sword. The crowd was dense, their eyes turned toward Caledonia and the four girls behind her. All around them, the sun pips glowed blue in the darkness, ringing them in starry light. It was time for her to speak, to rally and inspire. She stood silently for a moment, studying the shape they made on the deck. Knowing that there were 49 souls before her, and in a few hours, there would very likely be less. Knowing that those losses would follow her forever. Rona would have taken this moment and turned them around. Rona would have kept her ship and her crew whole and hidden. She believed small losses were unavoidable, but the same was not true of big losses. Rona wouldn't have taken this risk, but Caledonia was not her mother. Somewhere along the way, she'd come to the hard realization that there was nothing she could do to keep them all safe. But she could help them to fight. It wasn't her job to save them. It was her job as Pisces had known from the very beginning, to lead them.
Sisters, Caledonia called.
I thought that you came across the world to the North Water because of me. And for days I've struggled to understand why you would take such a risk to rescue two boys you've never known. But I've learned something over the course of this journey. You're not here because of me. I'm here because of you. If not for you, I might have tried to do this on my own. If not for you, I'd have failed early in this journey. I cannot promise you safety. I thought I could. But we don't live in a safe world. We live in a world of no good options. But it's because of you that we can make the best of them. She paused. She could feel their energy rising, could almost hear the collective pounding of their blood. On their cheeks, the sigils of her family and of Pisces' family shone in the blue glow of sun pips. They were marked, all of them, as her family. It was beautiful and terrifying. "On the back of the sea, who do we trust?" she called. Her crew answered together. "Our sisters!" Caledonia raised her voice a little more. "When our ship falters, who do we trust? Our sisters!" she shouted. "In a storm of bullets, who do we trust?" Their voices spiraled together, rising up like the early morning sun. "Our sisters!" With a grin, she finished the call. "We fight together," and they responded. "Or not at all."
"Here we go, girls," Red Tooth shouted.
The Moors Navis roared to life. They'd moved slowly closer to the bay over the course of the night, but they needed room to build up their momentum. Now they pushed to speed with Nettle at the helm. Amina and Hime took their position high on the nose by the gun that would fire the electromag. Nearby, Pisces held the binoculars to her eyes, marking the pace and watching for unexpected troubles. Red Tooth stood with Caledonia halfway between the nose and the bridge, where they could carry commands to the crew waiting on the deck below. And the crew was divided into raiding parties that would attack together. An icy wind stole tears from Caledonia's eyes and tugged furiously at her hair. In spite of the cold, her body was coated in sweat, and she shed the gray coat she'd worn all morning. Red Tooth leaned in close, raising her voice to be heard over the wind.
"No good options," she said with a grin. "Seems like our specialty."
Caledonia was reminded of the moment weeks ago when she'd stood on this very deck with Amina, discussing the possibility of intentionally engaging a bullet ship and stealing its sun sail. It had been the first in a long series of no good options.
"I'll take that," Caledonia answered with a matching grin.
The sky was just beginning to show signs of dawn when they rounded the peninsula and entered the bay. Before them, the Electra was nestled in the center of the cove, her nose pointed toward them. The orange numbers of its countdown floated in the air, ticking ever closer to zero. That blue-white fire shattered repeatedly along the waterline, making the ship appear to hover just above the ocean.
"Swing starboard!"
Caledonia called to Nettle, who only barely needed the command. The ship swung in a sharp arc to starboard, bringing the Electra's port side into full view. According to Orin, the best place to strike would be the forequarter, where they were most likely to take out the engines. But since Ares was also more likely to be down in the engine room, he'd suggested a hit dead center. Nettle lined them up, and the ship accelerated. Pisces raised a hand. Amina and Hime adjusted their grip. A wall of bullets appeared above the Electra's railing. They raised guns and shields and opened fire. The crew of the Mors Navis held their fire even as their own hull echoed with rain. Any stray shot from them might be the one that took Donnelly or Ares. So they pressed low to the deck, heads ducked behind battered shields, and they waited. After what felt like an eternity, Pisces' hand came down, and Amina's gun exploded. The electromag was heavier than a bullet, and so it was slower and easier to track. It flew through the air directly toward its intended target, landing with a loud pop. And nothing happened. The distance between the Mors Navis and the Electra was fading fast. In another second, the impact would leave every member of her crew electrocuted. "Amina!" she shouted, knowing there was nothing to be done. Just as she was about to give the order to abandon ship, the Electra's hull flashed. A web of purple light fractured in every direction, snapping through the air, and then it went out. The hull was dead. Chapter 38. Caledonia raked her gaze across the enemy ship. The flare of energy had pushed every bullet away from the rail. The air smelled like smoke, and the way was clear. "Brace!" Red Tooth cried. The final distance between the two ships vanished. The Mors Navis drove into the Electra's side with a vicious metal shriek, her nose puncturing the ship by several feet. The Electra began to roll away, dragging the Mors Navis with it. With a shock, Caledonia realized the ships were locked together and they were still rolling. They'd rammed with too much force. Both ships would capsize, and all would be lost. The ships groaned, listing hard. Water sloshed over the Electra's rail, and the Mors Navis shuddered against the strain. Bullets slipped down their deck, gripping at the rail or tumbling into the cold waters just beneath. Caledonia could feel the tension in her own deck as every rivet resisted the pull of the Electra. Then, just when it seemed the Electra's momentum would doom them all, the ships stopped rolling. The orange numbers of the countdown flickered and went out. They froze for the barest second, then rolled upright once more. Caledonia stood tall, alert, and ready. They were wedged into the dead center of the Electra, her side crumpled around the sharp nose of the Mors Navis. Before her, the deck was littered with bullets struggling to regain their feet, the railing peppered with the bodies of a few who'd failed to step back while the electromag did its work. She tried not to worry that they were dead, that any one of them could be Donnelly or Ares. "Latch on!" Caledonia cried, instructing the crew to deploy the grapples and hooks that would keep them connected to the Electra. "Haul over!" Now the fight began. Her girls leapt across the railings, their mouths open with cries and roars and high-pitched screams, their swords and guns high, their sisters at their sides. Before them, bullets quickly came to their fighting minds and greeted them violently on the deck. The air was a constant scream, punctuated only by occasional gunfire. With Pisces at her side, Caledonia joined the fight, her pistol in one hand, long knife in the other. Every time she met a bullet, she sought a sigil on his face, pulling her punches just long enough to do it. Her girls did the same, curtailing their blows until they knew their opponent was neither Donnelly nor Ares, leaving themselves vulnerable. It was a terrible way to fight. A long way to fight. They had no sharpshooters to assist them, no confidence that any kill was a good one, only their quick minds and strong fists to rely on. And Orin's information. The fight spread across the Electra's main deck, putting too much distance between her girls. Every battle-honed instinct Caledonia possessed told her this was a mistake. She needed to pull them together, drive forward as a unit, and give the knots room to fire. But it wasn't enough to win this fight. They had to win it the right way. With a roar, Caledonia dove forward, knocking a bullet's shotgun away with her blade. Before he could recover, she drove the flat of her palm up into the underside of his chin. He was pale enough to be Donnelly, but in that moment, she registered that his hair was blonde. That was enough for her. She pulled back and lunged with her sword, burying her blade in his chest. As frustration wormed toward desperation, Caledonia reminded herself that they never expected to find Ares in this first volley, and Donnelly wouldn't be in the thick of things. The only way to give her girls the ability to fight without caution was to find the boys and get them out of the fray by whatever means necessary. Pulling in close to Pisces and Hime, she took a single precious moment to study the evolving field. The fight was concentrated here, in the center of the main deck. The bullet force was furious and strong, but thin thanks to Amina's electromag. The railing was still littered with those too near the blast when it went off, and the remaining force was equally matched by her own. If her girls felt free to fire at will, this battle would be that much closer to being over. As it was, they traded blows for blood, relying on their fists and swords more than guns. "Any sign?" Pisces shouted. "Not yet!" The cold air was bright with a sense of blood and smoke. Caledonia felt the tug of guilt in her throat, the desire to tell her girls to use every weapon available to them. But then, a single bullet caught her eye, standing far up the forequarter with his eyes trained on the battle below. It only took a second to realize it was the ballistic. His dark hair wasn't long enough to curl, but it was black as the night sky, the skin beneath it pale. Donnelly. He was changed from the small boy she'd known on the Ghost. He was tall, with hollow cheeks and broad shoulders like their father's had been. But it was him. It was him. Caledonia no longer felt the cold of the northern sky. She moved through the fight like a spreading fire, consuming all she touched. Her hand and blade were slicked with blood, and pain sang distantly in her head. But she pressed on, desperate and determined to reach Donnelly before anyone else did. Finally, she was through the throng. There was nothing but open space between her and the ramp leading up to the bridge. The ballistic's attention wasn't on her. His face was turned away, held in profile so she could just see the tip of his nose and feel a skip in her lung. She had the element of surprise. She could knock him out before he even knew she was there, secure him before he had a chance to resist. She was ready to run. Then, something crashed into her from behind as a gun fired past her ear, and she was on her knees, her gun sliding across the deck. She rolled, lashing out with the butt of her long knife, only to find that the thing that had crashed into her was Amina, pushing her out of harm's way. The girl never stopped moving. She rolled smoothly to her feet, braids twisting around her body like the lashes of a whip, and drove her own sword into the belly of a charging bullet. He stopped, eyes wide and angry. Then Amina braced her foot on his thigh and shoved him to the ground, blood falling from her blade in a steady stream. Caledonia allowed herself one small breath of relief before she turned around, again searching for the ballistic. She found him in an instant, his attention and his gun fixed on Amina. Dread burned instant and hot in Caledonia's gut as she realized she would be too late to push Amina out of the way. She flew to her feet. The gun cracked. But it wasn't Amina who hit the ground. It was Red Tooth. She appeared just in time to make a shield of her body. Her chest jerked as the bullet pierced her back. Her hands brushed Amina's shoulders as though she had something to say. There was a second where all was still, but for the stray locks of blonde hair curling in the air like autumn leaves. Then, red bloomed between her shoulder blades and her body hit the deck at Amina's feet. And that was when Caledonia heard Amina's roar. The girl raised her gun, and without a second thought, without waiting to look for a sigil, she fired at the ballistic. Caledonia screamed, twisted in time to see the ballistic's hand clutch his chest in surprise. A small trail of blood slid down his chin, and he toppled over the rail of the bridge, lifeless. Her ears filled with a cottony buzz. Behind it, the distant sound of her girls holding their ground. She stood trapped between the body of one of her sisters and that of her brother. Numb. Amina was screaming. She was standing over Red Tooth's body. She was fighting anyone who came near. Amina was screaming, and the sound of it was the only thing strong enough to penetrate the fog around Caledonia's mind. Trusting Amina's sword, she crouched at Red Tooth's side. The girl's blue eyes were open, her expression locked in one of love. For Amina. For the crew she'd served so well. With a shaking hand, Caledonia closed Red Tooth's eyes. Amina! She shouted as she pulled Red Tooth away from the fray. Amina moved instinctively, guarding her captain and her fallen sister as they moved to the wall of the command tower. Tears covered Caledonia's cheeks, and she didn't fight them as she tucked Red Tooth against the wall and turned her steps toward her brother. Now the world narrowed to the gleam of blood on his sky-dark hair. It was all Caledonia could see as she moved to his side. Donnelly? She whispered, kneeling in the blood pooling beside him. Why hadn't she told them? Why hadn't she immediately shared that he was the ballistic of this vessel? Why had she assumed she could get to him first? Her fault. Once again, her foolishness had cost him everything. Kala? Pisces' voice was strong in her ear. Kala, be steely.
It's him, Pi.
There were tears in her eyes, in her throat, and on her face.
Oh, spirits, it's him.
Gently, Pisces gripped the man's head and lifted it from the deck. His chin was covered in a thin stubble, and the lines around his eyes suggested he'd seen more years than Caledonia. Beyond that, his temple bore no tattoo. It's not, Pisces confirmed. Caledonia breathed the battle back into her lungs in one long gulp. Blood. Gunpowder. Salt. The world came back in a rush. Pisces gave her shoulder a firm squeeze. On your feet, Captain. It wasn't him. It should have been, but it wasn't. Any number of things could have happened to remove him from command. Caledonia tried not to dwell on them. She didn't have time to dwell, only to find him. Answers would come later. The cliff was thin now, and without their ballistic at the helm, their confidence visibly waned. And then there was Red Tooth, crumpled against the command tower wall, her blonde braids staining red all the way to her scalp. There was such a wave of sadness waiting there, one that was sure to pull them all under if they let it. But right now, the sight of her body led to a terrible, keening screech. It built slowly, traveling from one girl to the next until no other sound might be heard. A few of the bullets continued to fight, their minds dedicated to the task no matter the circumstances. But more faltered in the face of that scream. Their blades hesitated, and the girls took every bit of that advantage. Caledonia saw Nettle darting between bullets to slash their calves from behind. She saw Tin and her sisters weaving their blades into deadly webs. She saw Hime wielding her dual swords with furious grace. She saw the battle bending toward them, and before long, the day would be theirs. Caledonia climbed to the bridge where the ballistic had stood. She looked over the waning battlefield and shouted, "Throw down your weapons, and we'll let you live!" The transition took a few minutes. But soon, the remaining bullets stood ringed by her crew. She spied the site where Red Tooth had fallen and clenched her jaw. Her blood was a bright flag against the rusted metal deck. "If they don't have a sigil," Caledonia said, voice girded with steel. "Kill them!" "Bind them!" Pisces shouted, breaking the moment in two. Caledonia climbed down from the bridge, fury fresh on her face. But Pisces met her with an unbending stare. "Why are you challenging me?" Caledonia gestured to the sea of bullet faces before them. "These aren't our brothers!" Pisces stepped forward and pressed her shoulder to Caledonia's chest so she could speak in her ear. "If we're going to remind them who they were, we can't forget who we are." Caledonia wanted blood, revenge for Red Tooth's death. Her body trembled with it. She imagined the deck of the Electra covered in the bodies of spent bullets, the surface bright with the blood of all the boys who were not her brother. She imagined it, felt that dark kernel deadening her heart, and she shivered. Bind them! Chapter 39. Not a single bullet on this deck bore the sigils of Caledonia's family, or of Pisces. Fear was starting to sing from a knot in Caledonia's throat. They had trusted the word of a bullet, attacked a mighty ship, and lost several of their own. And all for what? Kala, Pisces gave her hand a tug. Below decks, come on! While Amina and her knots remained topside with their barrels trained on their prisoners, the rest of the crew was taking care of the wounded and ensuring the Moor's Navis was undamaged and ready to sail. Caledonia opened her mouth to shout for Red Tooth and stopped abruptly. She cleared her throat. Nettle! The small girl appeared at her side. Blood stained her front, and she'd taken a blow to the cheek, but she seemed otherwise unscathed. Captain! I need you to work with Tin. Organize a retrieval party. Anyone who will recognize value in ship parts when they see it. They should come through after Pisces and I do our sweep. On it! Nettle flashed a brief smile, and then she was gone. Let's go. Caledonia moved ahead of Pisces as they entered the first level. The hallways were wider than those of the Moor's Navis, though the piping was just as low. They cleared room after room, moving carefully and quietly through the unfamiliar corridors. When they were satisfied that the first level was clear, they traveled down the ladder to level 2. Immediately, they heard voices, hushed and tense. Caledonia met Pisces' eyes, and the two girls moved silently toward the voices. It was a small room in the center of the ship. If Caledonia had to guess, she'd say they were directly below the bridge. Pisces held up 2 fingers. Caledonia nodded in agreement. There were only 2 of them in there. Caledonia tried not to hope that they would be their brothers, but it was a losing battle. Even as she listened, she searched for some hint of Donnelly in those tones, some promise of Ares. The girls raised their guns. Pisces was around the corner first, with Caledonia shortly behind. Hands up! Caledonia shouted. Tools clattered to the ground. The 2 bullets were too surprised to do anything other than put their hands up and let Pisces bind them. Caledonia waited with her gun poised and her breath stuck in her chest. But Pisces shook her head, the hope in her eyes withering. It wasn't them. They took their new prisoners topside before resuming their search. But the rest of level 2 was just as empty as level 1. Every corridor, every bunk carried only the memory of bullets. Caledonia and Pisces moved faster and faster toward level 3 in the engine room. They didn't say it out loud, but both were chased by a clawing panic that Orin's information was too old and their brothers were no longer here. And if they'd done all of this for nothing, if Red Tooth had given her life for nothing, then what? The door to the engine room was pulled shut. Caledonia held her pistol ready while Pisces gave it a shove, entering the room faster than she should have. A hand reached out. Pisces' wrist was snatched, and before she could resist, she was dragged bodily into the room. Her gun clattered to the floor, but she did not scream. Caledonia followed, her own gun trained on the boy who now held Pisces against him, her head cinched between his strong arms, his hands poised to snap her neck. He was tall, his skin a warm, sunny brown, his eyes beaded with gold and shadow, his black hair cropped short. And there, on his temple, tucked close to his hairline, the sigil. Ares, Caledonia said, voice destabilized by relief. Ares, it's us! He didn't snap Pisces' neck, but he didn't release her either. His eyes narrowed and he didn't speak. Pisces didn't struggle. Her eyes grew wide and her hands landed softly against Ares' arm. Caledonia's heart was suddenly wild in her chest. If Ares was here, then surely Donnelly was too. They simply hadn't found him yet. The weight of all her hopes was crushing, but she forced herself to stay grounded in that moment. This was not a time to be careless with her feelings. She let her gaze travel around the rest of the room, confirming there was no one else here. At least, no one she could see. The center of the room was occupied by large engine blocks, the ceilings layered with pipes. If there was someone else here, they had plenty of places to hide.
Ares, Caledonia tried again. I know you remember us. Look, that's Pisces. Pi, your sister. You're holding your sister right now.
Ares shook his head.
My sister died a long time ago.
On the ghost, right?
Caledonia held her gun steady, aimed directly at his forehead.
She wasn't on board when it was attacked. Remember that? She went to shore, with me.
A frown pressed Ares' brow, but he didn't look away. Instead, he studied her more intently, taking in her red hair and the sigil on her cheek. Still, his arms tightened around Pisces' throat. Pisces gasped.
Ares, look!
With one hand, she lifted the charm she wore to the level of his eyes. Ares' eyes settled on the little charm. He frowned. And then suddenly, his arms snapped open, and he took a startled step backward. With a gasping breath, Pisces spun to face him.
Ares,
she repeated. She held her hands out, palms up, and as non-threatening as she could make them.
It's me, Pisces, see?
She turned her cheek so he could clearly see her sigil. Caledonia kept her gun trained on his chest, high and to the right. If she did have to shoot him, she'd make it survivable. Ares stood very still for a moment. His hands hung at his sides like they were filled with lead. On his face was an expression that looked very much like pain. Finally, he spoke.
You've cut your hair, he said.
You're taller,
Pisces laughed, rushing forward and into his arms. At first, he didn't move. He was unbending as a tree, even as Pisces wrapped her arms around his neck. Then, a small shudder moved through his body and he whispered,
Spirits.
He bent and lifted Pisces clear off the deck as though he didn't even notice.
Oh, spirits.
Caledonia's throat was tight. Tears coated her eyes. She bit them back, anxiously scanning the room for a sign of Donnelly. She was glad to see Ares, so heart-stoppingly glad. But she needed to see her brother, too. And when she couldn't wait a second longer, she interrupted their reunion.
Is there anyone else here?
She asked.
Ares, where's Donnelly?
Donnelly?
Ares gently set his sister on the ground again.
He's not here.
Here in this room?
Caledonia demanded.
Here on this ship, Ares frowned. Cala, I'm sorry, but he left a month ago.
Chapter 40. She didn't hear a word more. She turned and just started walking. She barely saw the corridors of this dreadful ship. She followed the natural progression of stairways until she was back on the main deck, where there was more to fill her ears than the hollow sound of her disappointment, where the sun was warming the air and everything smelled like blood. The bullets had been bound more securely and now sat on the rear deck, far from the center of activity. Nettle was organizing the retrieval operation with expediency, ensuring that their efforts to strip the Electra of her most valuable and portable parts went as quickly as possible. All the wounded had been taken back to the Mors Navis, and Tin stood in the midst of the scene, conducting all operations with a firm touch. Everything was going as it should be. Spotting Caledonia, Tin moved across the deck. Her expression was one of grim resolve, and instead of a blade, she now clutched her notebook in one hand. The news it contained would likely break Caledonia in two. She wished briefly that her heart might be like self-healing glass, repairing itself the instant a fracture was formed. When the girl was near enough, Caledonia nodded, asking simply, "How many?"
"A dozen wounded," Tin said, voice steady. Evidence of the battle was splattered across her pale face. "Five dead."
"Who?" Caledonia clenched her jaw tight. It took Tin a moment to answer. She stared down at her notes, perhaps willing them to appear in Caledonia's mind so she might avoid speaking the names aloud. Finally, she cleared her throat.
"Alisa, Quinn, Thatcher, Maddie, and..."
Her breath caught, stealing the final name. "And Red," Caledonia finished for her. "Where is she?" Tin pointed to the command tower. In its shadow, Caledonia could make out the shape of a body lying on the ground, blonde braid stained red. They'd left her for the captain, as was right.
"Thank you."
Caledonia aimed her steps for Red Tooth. The girl was taller than Caledonia, with more muscle and weight. Though Caledonia's body was weak from the fight, she crouched and pulled Red Tooth into her arms.
"Let's go home, my friend,"
she whispered. Slowly she rose to her feet with Red Tooth's body gripped firmly to her chest. All work ceased as she moved across the deck toward the gangplank. The eyes of her crew tracked her until she and Red Tooth were safely aboard the Moors Navis once again. Caledonia let the tears roll down her cheeks. For the loss of her friend, for the loss of her crew, for the loss of her brother, again.
"I have her, Captain."
Amina met her on the main deck, taking Red Tooth into her own arms.
"You have her," Caledonia repeated.
Caledonia watched them go below decks, then climb to the command deck, where she could be alone for a minute.
They'd done what they'd set out to do.
They'd rescued Ares, and that was no small victory. The Electra was in no shape to gather recruits. The colonists would enjoy a temporary reprieve at the very least. Still, it was hard to find anything but a deep sense of defeat in this moment. 5 crew members were lost, Donnelly was nowhere to be found, and the brief hope that had lived in Caledonia's heart was gone for good.
"Captain."
Tin stood before her, a look of concern on her face.
"Captain?"
Caledonia blinked and cleared her throat.
"Yes?"
"We've got trouble. Our scouts spotted a bullet fleet on approach. They're 10 miles out, coming from the east and moving fast."
So they would have to run.
They would leave this ship without her brother and run for their lives. Again. Caledonia's heart felt too heavy and too numb for anything other than this steadying sense of responsibility.
"How many ships?"
she asked, voice and spirit tired. Tin's eyes tracked every movement on the deck, even while she answered Caledonia's questions.
"Scouts saw at least 6. They look like the same ones that chased us out of Lower Cloudbreak."
"How so?"
"They said the nose of the flagship was covered in baleflowers."
"Baleflowers."
"Lear."
"Set the charges," Caledonia said with renewed urgency, "and bring our girls home. It's time to go." Chapter 41. Caledonia couldn't think. She raced to her cabin where she threw her weapons to the floor, and for a moment, she felt everything. Her heart tapping a frantic rhythm against her chest, her tears burning her eyes and washing her cheeks, her breath whistling in and out, struggling against her lungs. There was Red Tooth's death, spinning a hole in her gut. There was Ares' return, fluttering between joy and sorrow. There was Donnelly's absence, straining in her chest. And there was the fury of Lear's approach, twisting around her ankles, urging her to run, to kick, to move. In the midst of that storm, Only Lear felt solid. With Oren's information exhausted and out of date, Donnelly was out of reach. There'd be no way of finding him in the whole of the Bullet Fleet. There was a hopeless, helpless dream now. But here again was Lear. And this wasn't like Cloudbreak. There was no need to ask her crew to take on this fight. There was no promise of brothers to be found in her future. There was only Lear and the promise of revenge. If she couldn't have one, at least she could have the other. A plan began to form, knitting together from the broken plane of hope in her heart. She would take her revenge, and she would do it without asking anyone else to risk their lives. She would do it without losing anyone else. Her body filled with the heady sensation of purpose, her mind suddenly clear and calm. She spun, and there was Oren, standing just inside her cabin with his wide, dark eyes. He was saying something, asking something. His mouth was moving. Caledonia didn't hear it. She crushed the distance between them, pressed her body flush against his, pushed her hands along his cheeks and into his hair, and then she took her kiss from his lips. If he hesitated, she didn't feel it. He met her kiss with a full one of his own, wrapping his arms around her chest, hands pressed flat against her shoulder blades. There was no room for tenderness between them. The moment was burning around them, tricking them into thinking there was only this kiss. Caledonia kissed him harder, letting the fire of this moment obliterate every other thought in her head, letting it make her bold and daring. "Kala!" Pisces shouted, driving the two of them apart. Caledonia pushed Oren away, spinning to face Pisces. "What?" she demanded. "We need you topside." Pisces looked between Caledonia and Oren, muscles tense. Her gaze narrowed on Oren before returning to Caledonia, landing even harder than before. "Now!" She was gone before Caledonia caught her breath. "Spirits," she muttered, reaching for her coat before remembering she'd ditched it on the bridge just before battle. Instinctively, Oren stood aside to let her pass, but before she left the room, he caught her wrist. "I didn't know," he said. "I didn't know he wouldn't be there. That's what I came to say." Even through the fabric of her shirt, his hand was hot. "I believe you." As she surfaced on deck, she felt the ship drifting slowly away from the Electra. The crew had worked hard and fast to disengage from the collision. Any lingering hull damage from the hit would have to be addressed on the move. Their 10-mile lead wouldn't last long. She found Pisces on the command deck with Amina and Himei. Somewhere on this ship there was Ares, but even that victory was missing from their expressions. They regarded her cautiously and, she realized, with a hint of their own grief over her still-missing brother and over Red Tooth. Pisces greeted her with a cool glare. Whatever her opinions of the kiss she'd just witnessed, they weren't good, but she wouldn't share them here. "Options," Caledonia demanded. "Run west. Find a cove for cover." Himei looked uncertain even as she said it. "Hide until they're gone." "Too risky," Caledonia said. "Others?" "Run west," Amina began. "Use the coastal topography for cover, and keep going." Caledonia nodded. It was her thought as well. "Cable mines," Pisces crossed her arms as she thought. "We'll set them adrift as we leave the cove. It won't be much, but it will give us a little edge." The pause that followed was so natural. They all expected a fourth and even a fifth opinion to fill the space between them. But none came. Red Tooth was gone. "Good. We'll do both." She turned toward the bridge and raised her voice. "Nettle, take us out slow and steady. We don't want to leave them a trail if we can help it." Nettle's response was in the quiet churn of her engines. The ship moved through the water with as little chop as possible. "Amina, time to get those mines ready. Himei, we need you back in the med bay." The two girls nodded and moved off in a hurry. Caledonia waited until they were alone before speaking again.
Pi, I need you to take command.
Command? Pisces asked suspiciously. She planted her hands on hips and lowered her voice.
What's going on?
There was too much to say, and Caledonia had no idea how to say it. The sun above was heartless and cold,